Yes, give him a good whack, yep. All right. Well, we all need a good whack sometimes, okay? We're all stubborn mules sometimes. All right. I always love it when I turn the recorder machine on. It shows my age. When I'm talking about whacking a mule. Whoever's listening has no idea what I'm talking about. So we were jesting before I turned that on. I just turned it on the wrong moment. So sorry, folks. Okay. We're here in the book of Acts. And in the 8th chapter still, I'm still dealing with Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch. And we have a lot to learn here. These are basic fundamentals that I'm sure that most of you understand. Of course, I don't know who all is listening and who all needs what. So I go over them thoroughly. And it's even though I may understand something very, very well, every time I delve into the same portion of Scripture, I may have read hundreds of times, I still pick up more and more and more, or I'm reinforced in those things, or things are brought to my memories. You know, we're kind of dumb like that. If we don't hear something after a while, we tend to let certain parts of things slip because we're, you know, fallible and all that kind of thing. So it's really important for us to constantly be reinforced in the Word of God. And, you know, if there's anything in the world that is our strength and anchor, it's the truth of the Word of God. And so as we go through the take the left hooks and the right jabs and all the other punches that come our way in the world, it's the Word of God that protects us. And so we've got the Lord Jesus Christ in our corner. And now, enough with the boxing analogies. I was punching on my punching bag on Saturday, so letting out all that aggression. Okay, so here in the 8th chapter, we're still dealing with this Ethiopian unit. And I've been trying to get to a certain portion of Scripture for the past 3 weeks straight, but I keep getting led different directions, which is fine. So we're going to go back through again and review some stuff I reviewed even 3 weeks ago and kind of go through it again. And I think I can probably this evening have enough time to make a collective of it and bring you over to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts where Peter is in the household of Cornelius. So we'll look at something there. This eunuch is being led by Philip through the Scriptures. He has a copy of the book of Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah, actually, and they were written on parchment, which is interesting because I used to think that parchment was papyrus. The parchment is actually skins. And so, if you think about all the effort it took to make a parchment, you had to have the right kind of skins. It wasn't just any old skin. They had to be the right thickness. They had to be tanned and preserved just right so they're pliable. And they had to be the surface of the skin had to be treated just, I mean, it was a very, very fine craft that to make a parchment for writing because if you write on leather, it'll just bleed all over the place. So they had to be very finely made and able to support the ink or whatever it was. I don't really know what they used for ink. I'll have to look that up. I'm interested now. But you don't want it bleeding all over the place so you can actually read the Scriptures. And then it had to go on a scroll. And so a very, very wealthy man this guy was to have a copy of the book of Isaiah. But he's reading, okay? And that's okay. It's okay for him to be reading and not understanding. I support that fully. But we come to know the truth of the Word of God through the preaching of the Word of God. And so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, right? And so there's many things over the years I've read and haven't fully understood until I come to church and it's explained to me. And so the things that I read that I already have an idea of are made clear to me by the preaching of the Word of God and the work of the Spirit of God that indwells my soul. And so he's sitting here telling this guy, okay, so you're reading Isaiah. Do you understand what you read? And he's very honest with him about it. And he says here in verse 31, the eunuch says, how can I except some man should guide me? And that's absolutely correct. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the Scripture which he read was this, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, or the word dumb, we typically use it for unintelligent, but yeah, mute. He didn't complain about it. He didn't, he just went to the shearer as if, a lamb may protest and baa when he's going through the chute to the shearing station and that kind of thing. Our Lord walked right up. He knew exactly what had to happen. In the garden, he said, if it be possible, praying to the Father, let this cup pass from me, speaking of the upcoming crucifixion. And he said that for the sake of you and me. Okay, he knew what he had to do. That was his purpose for being in the world, to fulfill the law and then provide atonement for sin through his death on the cross of Calvary. And so he knew exactly what was happening. He was dying the just for the unjust. And so he goes on, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In this humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ was treated lower than the low. And they looked upon him as if he was just a charlatan, you know, a fake that was broke all of the laws that they placed upon him, even though he broke none of them, you know. And of course, they chose to worship Caesar over our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just a picture of what mankind does. Mankind would rather worship the constructs of his own mind, as silly as they may be, or as tyrannical as they may be. You know, look at this movement for what we're really seeing is mankind just wants to have government control like all the rest of the nations do. You know, we want socialism to be put in place. The nation of Israel went through this thousands of years ago. Okay, they were a theocracy under Moses and then under the judges. And they said, make us a king like the rest of the nations. We want to be just like everybody else. But what were they supposed to be? They were supposed to be separated unto God. So the Lord told them precisely what their ruler was going to be like. He's going to take he's going to strip you naked, basically. And that's what man wants. He wants to be led by a tyrant. And he thinks that's just. He thinks that's right. Whatever is contrary to what the truth of the Word of God is about who God is and what his plan of redemption is, man gobbles it up. That's just the way the flesh operates. And so, really, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're in a peculiar and, I would say, a precarious situation sometimes in life. We operate in the world just like everybody else does, yet we're separate from it. Okay, we don't involve ourselves in the constructs and structures of the world that are godless. We believe in the true and living God, and we operate according to his word. And typically, we don't have to talk to everybody we meet about it, but when we do, we're either rejected, we're called crazy, or they don't say anything to us about it, but later on they say, boy, even if it's in their own minds, well, that's a bunch of BS or whatever, right? So that's where we stand. It's a tough place to be. Being a preacher ain't easy either. You know, you just can't, you can't be treated normal. I feel like the Hunchback of Notre Dame or whatever. I got to go up to my tower and hide away from everybody else because, you know, I'm just the weird preacher era. You know, I don't know. All I know is that I can't do anything else. You know, if I were to quit this and just lay down and be part of the world, you know how miserable I would be knowing what I should be doing? It's not for me, you know. And, you know, Paul experienced that, and I've had troubles in life with, you know, keeping the lady folk happy, as it were. But, you know, that's part of what comes along with sometimes being a man of God and being faithful to what the Lord's committed to your trust. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul, he was in order to be a member, and I believe he was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council, in order to be a member, he had to have a wife. And he had to keep his wife and his family in good legal and Jewish standing. I'm quite certain that after, you know, Paul accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and was led to serve him instead of serving, really what he was doing was serving the devil when he was trying to put the church to death. His family, I'm sure, abandoned him. And it just seems as though the lure of the world becomes so much sweeter to people, but really when they get there, the grass ain't a whole lot greener. I remember my grandpa always told me something really wise. He always had words of wisdom. You know, he said, you know, you can look at your life at a certain point in time when you get older and think you could have done it differently, but it doesn't guarantee it would have been better. And going to the side of the world, the flesh, walking away from the Lord, it doesn't work out. You know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we belong with the Lord. We belong walking with the Lord, and we belong in his word. And that's where we're happiest. You know, just look at the prodigal son. You know, he's found himself in a position of feeding swine that really a Jew doesn't even want any part with because it's an unclean animal, carob husks that he couldn't even eat, and he was starving. And that's what happens when you go out in the world as a believer in Jesus Christ. We find no solace. And so We have a Lord Jesus Christ that died for our sins, though. And Philip is explaining this to this eunuch and opening up the Old Testament scriptures to him. And he says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And he says, who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And it was of necessity. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? This, of himself, or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus Christ. And as they went their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Okay? And so, when we have a faith in, we say, we found Jesus Christ or whatnot. What really took place is we were under the sound of the gospel. And I didn't realize this until it was explained to me later on, because from the believer's perspective, we hear the word of God and we found the Lord Jesus Christ and expressed faith in him. But we were being led to that place. The Lord opened up our heart, opened up our mind. It takes a willing heart and a willing mind. And the Lord's the one that gives us those gifts to open our heart, open our mind. And then the word of God is active. Or put forth, I meant to say the Spirit of God is active as the Word of God is put forth. And He blesses that truth to our hearts and minds that we might believe. And that happens right where we're sitting. It doesn't take any acts. It doesn't take any special thought process or anything like that. We just understand we're a sinner and the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4 one more time. And I know we've read this for the past 3 weeks, but I'm going to try and get through this over to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And I'll kind of skip forward a little quicker as we do it so I can get there. So Ephesians chapter 4. And let's see here. Helps to be not in Philippians, but Ephesians. Here we go. That's why I can't find it. Let's see. Let's start at verse 17. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And how do they walk? They walk in the vanity of their mind. That's the way the world operates. Whatever they see fit. And we have a fitting that comes from the Lord, which is the fact that we're sinners unable to redeem ourselves, and the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. But the world would prefer to believe otherwise, and often contrary to that. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, a condition of being without light, without truth, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. This is not how we came to Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off or put away, set aside, concerning the former conversation, that's the manner of life that we function under or by as the old man here, okay? The old man is the old way of thinking, the way that thought according to the lusts of the deceit or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that we can somehow make ourselves fit for the presence of God. By the lives that we live, by the way that we think, by the groups that we're in, by our bloodline, what have you. Okay? Anything that's aside from the Lord Jesus Christ. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the lusts of the deceit. Okay? That was when Eve was deceived in the Garden of Eden. She was deceived and she believed that now she can operate in a way that's contrary to God because if I eat of this tree, I can be like God, make my own set of rules. And so that's where all the different moralities of man, the mores of man, come into play through the religions of the world. Okay. And I say the religions of the world, but really I mean everything that's contrary to the Word of God. And it doesn't have to be a religion either. You know, if you say you are an atheist or a non-believer or an agnostic, which is a bunch of, means basically that you're an idiot, and it literally means you're ignorant, you know. And that's the way the world, in fact, I guess you would have to say the world is all agnostic, you know, if you really want to put it that way. But if you say, oh, I'm just going to go be a free spirit, and I'm a spiritual creature, or whatever. You know, I've had so many people tell me that. I don't believe really in the Bible, but I am spiritual. You know, and you say, well, what does that mean? Yeah. Explain to me. Maybe I want to be spiritual too. Well, you know, I'm just spiritual. You know, like, well, you know, like, give me some information here. That sounds cool. I want to see what this is all about. Well, you know, spirituality is kind of what I am. And it's like they never. Yeah. Whatever it may be. Yeah. Rainbows in the sky or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, when I die, I'm gonna become one with the energy in the earth, and we're all gonna like be in alignment, and like, you're like, oh cool, what does that mean? What is the energy of the? What is this energy? Well, you know, it's just the energy. And it's like, does it ever go past that? No, they don't believe in anything. You know, it's funny how man has a innate sense that he needs to be somehow spiritual. Well, where do you suppose that comes from? That comes from God. And, you know, when it says the Word of God has been to every corner of the earth, it has. And man knows innately that he belongs to a God. And so he puts these constructs in place in his mind. And so he doesn't know what to do with them because he hasn't been preached the truth or hasn't accepted the truth. And so he just says he's spiritual or he's this or he's that. You know, something that he knows is a good merit badge to put on his sash so that one day when he gets to whatever afterlife there is, he's got that base covered, you know. And it's just, you know, it's really, to put it bluntly, it's a sad state of affairs. Man has no direction. And inside, if you really ask him about what he feels about his life, even if you are a rich man, it's never enough. You never have that void filled. But in Christ, it's one of those things where I've been put into positions of being down and you know, I pity myself probably too much sometimes, but I always am full. I always have, when life does you wrong, I like to put it this way. I kind of came up with this term recently. Correct back to that which never changes. Okay. And what never changes, or should I say who never changes? Our Lord Jesus Christ and his word to us. You know, so if we correct back to that which never changes, we correct back to our Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we, you know, we get to the point where we want to have a pity party for ourselves and that kind of thing. But really, you know, we are not reserved unto wrath. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for us. We don't even belong here. We belong in the presence of our Lord. And so, unfortunately, we were born with emotions. They get the better of us sometimes. But he goes on to say here, and verse 23, and renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we correct back to that basis, that foundation. And it says that ye, but really should be written, and this is the way it is in the Greek, because it's our present condition at all times, and have put on what? The new man. And the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. That's separation from the world system that leads to naught. Well, really what the world system does is it, Pastor Andre was mentioning it before the service here, we were talking about what he's going to preach next week. It leads to the baptism of fire. You know, and people say, oh, give me that good old-fashioned baptism of fire. They don't know what they're talking about. You know? All man's ways are going to be burned up along with the man that's unredeemed. And so he goes on to say, wherefore putting away, not lying, this was added by the translators in this manner in order to evoke some sort of moral sense of, you know, don't lie to people, okay? Putting away, which is present in the Greek, the definite article, the lie, okay? A specific lie, the lie of the devil that says you can do it your way. Can we do it our way? Is there an energy in the sky? Is there a general spirituality that we all float around in some alter universe somewhere where we're just bouncing off each other? Oh, I'm so spiritual, you know. No, none of that exists. You know, it's that dumb too. I mean, I illustrate things in my own mind when I speak sometimes. So I'm literally thinking of in Beetlejuice when they opened up the door and all of the ghosts were you don't want to go there, close that door. You know, so they're just floating around in the neither or whatever. And I think what's her name's husband had the big mouth that was open that couldn't close. That's a good flick. All right. So wherefore putting, if anybody here hasn't seen that, you're really not missing out on much. But if you ever get the opportunity and you're bored one night, it's a pretty good movie. All right. So wherefore, putting away the lie, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. And so this is what we mean when you believe with your heart, a confession is made with your mouth. Okay, what we believe inside, what we have inside of us, the truth of the Word of God, we want to express that because of the love of Christ within us, so we can have others believe what we believe. And so, speak the truth, every man, with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And so, we serve the Lord through what we talked about this morning. Without faith, it's impossible what? To please God. We serve Him by faith. Okay? We don't serve in the efforts of the flesh. There's no salvation in that. And so the old man, or the way of the world, thinks according to the flesh. He thinks naturally what came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but there's no blessing in that. There's no truth in that. There's no future in that. There's no inheritance in that. There's no salvation in that. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's look there. And the things of the Lord, we have to understand this as believers in Jesus Christ. It took some time for me to really get a grasp on it. I think it takes time for every believer to get a grasp on it. But the things of the Lord cannot be taken in or accepted by natural means. Your mom was talking about it. I was chatting with her today. We had pretty good conversations about the Bible. And you know, when she accepted Christ as her Savior, she didn't have like a point where she really, one moment she was saved, one moment she wasn't, kind of like I did. And Dad kind of now remembers that kind of that day, that one day he was, one day he wasn't. Your mom heard the Word of God and never really had I've noticed over the years, for someone to accept, it does take a willing heart. And you can be listening in ignorance for quite some time, but know that it's the right way. And eventually the Lord builds blocks upon blocks upon blocks, and then expands your mind enough to understand that Christ died for your sins and you accept Him through the gift of faith by the operation of the Spirit of God. And so that's what's going on here with the Ethiopian eunuch. Is he's got a willing mind. He wants to know the truth, but truth or salvation through the Word of God comes by hearing the Word of God. But the world believes on this wise, and it says this: for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, I get kind of down in the dumps sometimes when you, and I think this is human nature, when we preach the Word of God to people and we get a good response, or we get folks that come to church and then they don't show up again after a while or whatever. You know, you want so badly for everyone to know the simple foundational truth that we're preaching. I mean, this isn't wackadoodle stuff we're preaching here. This is straight directly from the Word of God, exactly as it's given. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. You know, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm going through the Word of God and showing you step by step, page by page, word by word, how it all fits exactly together. You know, it can't be more clear than that. But we want everybody to learn and understand, but we got to understand, we're living in the age of the very last, I think, of the last of days, where the Word of God, I mean, the great apostasy, the falling away from the truth that Pastor Andre spent years preaching here back in the early 2000s, I think it was, we're solidly in the latter part of those days. You know, it's evident. Just look around, you know. But we get discouraged, and we just have to understand that all those that the Lord will have saved or is going to save will be saved. Okay? Whether it's one or 1,000, we are faithful to our ministry. We simply do what the Lord called us to do, and we continue on, and we are good soldiers about it. You know, a good soldier follows his orders. You know, a good soldier goes forward when it seems hopeless. And, you know, you can throw a fit and argue and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't win the battle. And so going forward here, it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? It says world, but it means age. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? What we're really talking about here is in the consummation of things, when everything's all said and done, we're standing before the Lord. Where's that wise man that said, oh, that such and such stuff you're preaching is a bunch of BS? Where's that guy? Let's see him come now before the Lord and say that. Because the Lord has already sacrificed himself for us. The deed is done. The work is complete. He sat down on the right hand of God and said, to tell us that my job is done. Okay? So really, we are already operating in a completed work. The battle is won. And that should give us great hope. And so he says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block because they're very legalistic. You know, they don't know what to do with a man that came and lived the life in their stead and died for them on the cross of Calvary. They want to do it themselves. And to the Greeks, it's foolishness. Greeks like to, or the world likes to philosophize and put everything through, the mental strata, as it were, and figure out the meaning for everything so that we can somehow boil everything down and find the God particle, which is the origin of all things." Well, what they don't realize is the God particle's right here in this book. All right, whatever. That's exactly the way that it is. They're never going to find God through the Large Hadron Collider over in Switzerland, okay, or through nuclear technology or anything like that. All right? The Word of God is right before our eyes. And so he says, "But unto them which are called, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And I love that verse. It really puts everything, it encapsulates the fact that we've got nothing to worry about. And so, jumping over to the second chapter, it says here in verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us," how? "By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So we're learning a little bit of something about the second person of the Godhead. Or the third person of the Godhead, excuse me. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but have this," because, we're born with the spirit of the world, born naturally into the world, thinking according to the constructs of the world. "But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." That's what we're talking about when we go through the Scriptures and compare this portion with that portion and tie it all together into an unbreakable knot. You know, the Word of God is like you take one piece of pasta and you can snap it in half. But if you take 1,000 pieces of pasta and try and rip it in half, you could be like Nancy Pelosi, where she took the speech and she kind of folded it over a little bit and started tearing it so that when it was all done, she could rip it all into shreds and look all high and mighty and that kind of thing. It doesn't work with a ball of pasta. You know, try and take a wad of pasta this big, and you're going to have a hard time, okay, unless it's wet. But we're talking about binding the Word of God together, putting portions of Scripture with portions of Scripture, tying the entire compilation of Scriptures together, which is really what we do when we come together every week. And as we go through the Word of God in the fashion that we do, we're showing clearly that there is only one plan of salvation from cover to cover in this book. Okay, and there are no contradictions. And so in the book of Romans chapter 10, I want to read a little bit there, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 10. So, it says here, "Like I said before, if we confess," and this is verse 9, "or say the same thing as God does about the Lord Jesus Christ, with our mouths," with our, that's what comes out of us, I'll just read the whole verse, "that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." This is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. "For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth a confession," or a agreement, as it were, okay, "is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon him." Isn't that funny? There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. You could say there's no difference between the white and the black, or the yellow and the purple, or whatever color you want to put on man, or the man and the woman. In Christ, we are all the same.
Through the eyes of the Lord, we're all sinners in need of redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of everyone. It's the great, you know, if there's ever a thing that's going to bind us together. In fact, I'm going to say that there is only one thing that will ever bind man together. And we're bound together by the truth of the Word of God about the salvation provided to us in Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. And the fact that we're all going to be in our heavenly home together, free of the sense of racism, because that ego. When you try and explain this to people, like, just, I don't care what situation, what kind of turmoil man is causing upon the earth. If you boil it down, it all comes down to man's ego. Every single time, and you can take that to the bank. Okay? But you say that to people who are, you know, supporting the BLM. Of course, when everybody started saying BLM, I thought they were talking about the Bureau of Land Management. But apparently it's Black Lives Matter. Okay? And they support Black Lives Matter, but the Black Lives Matter dictates of the Black Lives Matter movement is they're very they're against all. They're one of the most racist groups in the whole on the face of the earth. But yet we're supposed to be fighting racism. You know, if you look at what they want, really what they want is for all white people to die and the black people to be the rulers of the world. But isn't that what every race wants eventually? You know. The tribalization, balkanization, this is what man does. That's what the ego does. And you try and explain that to people, and they say, no, man's intrinsically good. They just want to make the world a better place. Oh, okay. All right, so if you lined up every white person in the world and they kissed the boot of every black person in the world, do you suppose those black people are going to be like, guys, we finally have an agreement. Thank you very much. We are all the same now. No, it'll just perpetuate on and on and on. They'll find something else to bitch about. And white people are the same way. White people always have stuff to bitch about, you know? I don't care what happens in the world. It's never enough. But that's what? Again, boil it down. Gets down to the ego. Okay? We're not going to be rid of that filthy ego. And really, it's filthy. Until we're in the presence of God. I even have a filthy ego. You know, it rears its ugly head sometimes, too. You know? I may be run to the less of a degree of riot than I formerly ran to. But I've still got the same ego everybody else has. We're all subject to it sometimes. And thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed me from all sin, because I sure as hell need it. And so, going on, my mom, when I said, when mom was here, of course she's got a terrible lung condition, she's concerned that she's going to get coronavirus. No big deal, not bothering her about it. But whenever she heard me say something like that, later on she'd be like, what did you do when you were younger? I'm like, Mom, nothing that no other kid ever did. I was like, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto. I was a pimp. I was a mule once. You know, just you didn't even. I could go down to Mexico and back in 2 nights and didn't even know I was gone, Mom. Carrying bricks of cocaine in my backpack. You know, like, I like messing with her. Bless her heart. I love her. All right. She's a great, great mother. But it's just kind of funny that you get older and your parents start to wonder, you know, what did you do when you're scooting around? You know, nothing you didn't do, Mom. Okay. I always look back when I was younger. I used to think of the era that my parents were in. They never did anything fun. There was no, in fact, they didn't even have anything fun to do. So, but you get a little older and you're like, yeah, that's, the world has not changed at all. You realize what your parents did. All right. So it says here, for the scripture saith, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich upon all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's that willing heart that it takes to be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so that speaks of redemption. You know, when Boaz had to remove his shoe to redeem Ruth, it's a sign of being purchased. Okay? And really, the pastor is a gift to the congregation. So, you guys need to re-gift me and give me stuff. Okay, just kidding. No, I'm honestly, I
the funny part about it is I've grown up and gotten a little bit better at my calling and all that kind of thing, but I still think of myself as being, it's still an amazement that I'm actually here, which is cool because it, you know, it's great. You know, I reflect on how the Lord works when I think of those things, and it's just, it's a miracle. Let's put it that way. And so, this is kind of how I feel. Verse 16, "For they have not all obeyed the Lord or the gospel, for Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? So then, faith comes by how? Hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God." And we have an example of that, not only here with the Ethiopian eunuch, but in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts as well. So we'll study forward just a little bit, and then we'll quit here. So go back to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And Peter is called to the household of Cornelius, and Cornelius was a devout man. Doesn't mean he was a saved man. It means he was just like this Ethiopian eunuch was, in that he believed that the true and living God existed, okay, through the scriptures, but he had not yet been saved. He was a man with an open heart, as it were. And so, the sermon is here. Verse 34, there it is. So then Peter opened his mouth, and it's Peter, the centurion, his household, I'm sure some friends and family, that kind of thing. So it's quite a group of people here. And Gentiles, and there were some Jews present to witness, but you'll see what happens. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Peter was taught that lesson very clearly. "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." That's to confess that Jesus is the Christ. "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached," and we're studying that in the morning worship service, "how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and having healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things," which makes them apostles, "which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." That was the cross of Calvary. "Him God raised up on the third day, according to the promise, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him and rose after he rose from the dead." And of course he did that to show forth the fact that he was actual alive from the dead in a living body. Okay, yet without blood. Because his blood was where? On the mercy seat in heaven. "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus Christ, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick," or the living, "and the dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him shall receive" what? "Forgiveness or remission of sins." And listen to this. This is exactly how it worked for me. It's always been the same way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Okay, so the New Testament era, as we preach the word of God, the truth goes forth, a willing heart is available, the Lord sets that heart up to receive the truth, gives you the faith to believe it, and you become a child of God through the blessing of God. And really, it takes our effort. You know, we think we have some sort of effort at first in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of God. You know, everything's of him, to him, and through him. And that removes 100% of the effort from the recipient of salvation. And it has to be that way. Because if there was anything that we had to do on our part, then who would the glory belong to? Well, it would belong to us, not God. Okay? Plus, we don't have the ability to satisfy God through any of our acts or thoughts. It requires the act of the Lord Jesus Christ, who stood in our stead in life and stood in our stead in death. If there was a law that was capable of providing us salvation, then barely, as the scripture says, righteousness should have been by the law. But it's impossible. And so, the Holy Ghost fell upon them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Because remember, that we're in a transitional age here. We're going to study this portion of scripture here in a few weeks. And in this transitional age,
breaking down the barriers, the cultural barriers, the religious barriers, as it were, to understand that God is the God of not only the Jews, but of the Gentiles, of all mankind. And these people just had a hard time sucking this up a little bit because it was pounded into their heads all their life. It takes some time to get the world out of the believer. You know, it took a long time to get the world out of me. I still function by the world sometimes. I don't know everything. You know, I'm a heck of a lot further down the road than I was when I was 21. But I still have a lifetime of learning to do. And so that's why we see these things happening. And that's why they speak in tongues here, to show forth the presence of the Spirit of God. And in verse 45, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because of that on the Gentiles also that was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak in tongues, the other languages that they hadn't learned prior, and they magnified God in those tongues. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And so what took place? The preaching went forth. The Spirit of God was active. The Lord blessed the truth of the Word of God to their heart and mind by the power of the preaching through the Spirit of God. They became believers in Jesus Christ. Where they sat or stood, they showed forth the fact that they trusted by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, giving them the gift of tongues, speaking in other tongues, most likely Hebrew, the truth of the Word of God, okay, or in agreement with the truth of the Word of God with those tongues that they now knew, which showed forth to the Jews that were present that there was a combination of both Jews and Gentiles, and they were all in the same boat. Okay? And now, the salvation took place first, and the baptism happens afterward. It's kind of is an illustration for us to show that we've died with Christ. We've been buried with Christ, and we've been risen with Christ to walk out in a newness of life. And that newness of life is for the well, you know, for the well-preached believer, the just shall live by faith, or according to the truth of the Word of God. Never let the flesh get a hold of you. The world's going to try. You know, the devil, it's true. When the Scripture says the devil roams about as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour, you know. And we get those kind of roadblocks get placed in front of us all throughout our life. But if we're strong in the things that we've learned, that's why I always implore you to come to church, to learn of the things of the Lord, to be strong in the faith, and understand what the Word of God says and who you are, who God is, so that when these problems come forth, which they will, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, that you're able to withstand them because you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. We're talking about that roaring lion, the devil. Okay, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. We thank you for these words that you fill my mouth with. Sometimes I'm preaching to myself. And it's a wonderful thing, Lord. We thank you and just bless these truths to our heart and mind that we may grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.